Good evening, one and all. Yes, halfway through another week, and I'll tell you what, it's not that far till the end of April, is it? But what a day it's been in London. I can tell you, I know I've mentioned it before, but one of the many YouTube things I've watched is the Horse Guards Parade, where the Horse Guards are in London and watching all the tourists and the horses nipping the tourists and stuff like that. Well, there's all sorts been going on today. First of all, they were sort of rehearsing for next month, which is the military month and the Trooping of the Colour for the King's birthday and stuff like that. And a building site near Buckingham Palace, something huge fell down, huge noise went off. Four of the horses, well, a lot of the horses panicked. Four of them ran off, throwing their riders. Two of them, well, they hit cars and buses. They're okay, luckily, but two of them actually ran 5 miles. 5 miles through central London before they managed to get these horses under control. And then just as we're sort of talking about that and reading in the paper about that, lo and behold, when the troops were changing over, one of the same, because there's two different things. There's the Royals and the Blues and Royals and the Lifeguards are the two that make up the troops there that do the horses. And the Lifeguards came in, and as they're outside ready to come in to change over with the Blues and the Royals, one of the horses bucked its rider off, knocked him out, threw him in the air in front of all the tourists there and everything like that. So it's been a riot going on, I tell you. But here we have our own going on because my guest today, well, what can I say about her? You ever wondered, I know we've had this sort of thing on here before, the spiritual world, the finding the love, the spiritual bliss and stuff like that. But how do you manage that with, well, as the practicality of living your everyday world, living the today's life? Well, my guest today, in her new book, Into the Heart of the Infinite, explains a lot of that and goes into it. She is an award-winning author, psychologist, spiritual teacher, and got her own worldwide following and deep wisdom with all sorts of stuff like that. Well, let's introduce her and we'll find out a bit more about it. Because on the show today, I have the one and only Maitri Ma Nolan. Hi, Maitri, how are you doing?
You.
It's great to have you on the show because we were meant to be on before and we had a bit of a muck up with the phone numbers and stuff like that. So I'm glad we got you on pretty quick after that. But it's great to have you back. Have you back? Have you on finally on the show finally? Reading about you sort of were a very young age. You were living on a farm, if I remember reading right. But you seemed able to sense things at a very young age, like the wildlife and nature and stuff like that. When did you first remember noting all this?
Well, it's part of my childhood. I was in a mini farm, I would say, and I was just very connected to the animals and the trees, and I felt a presence with them. And when I would be distressed, I would feel the trees would like heal me. I'd come up to a tree and hug it, and I could feel that all the stress just leaving my mind and going away. And it was just a natural part of my young childhood was having
Did
this connection to nature.
it seem normal to you? I mean, I suppose at that age you didn't know
Oh,
any
yeah.
difference, yeah.
Yeah, it seems totally normal.
You weren't one of these
It,
people that
that's
you could
it.
sit there and the animals come up and talk to you, come up and sit next to you or something like that. It was just you had this, you were au fait with the various parts of nature from the sound of it.
Yeah, I just was really connected to nature, and that was my deep connection. And I think I used to have something when I was a kid that I would call the world with like school and interacting with other people world. And I lived in the nature world, and I had to learn how to relate to people world.
That's go like what I said, and we'll get to that later on. The fact that you're able to have one foot in the sort of spiritual love world, whatever you want to call it, and the other foot in today's everyday world, and that sounds like that's back in those days it was the same thing with the people world and the non-people world sort of thing.
Well, I think if in those days, there was a division for me. I was so passionate about experiencing the bliss of divine presence and feeling that connection. But I really separated that from the practical world that I lived in, of day-to-day activities and things. And I think my lifelong journey, one of my lessons in this life, has been learning how to integrate and perceive the divine in everything
Because
and make this world divine rather than an obstacle.
okay, because you did have this divine presence came to you. Well, how old were when that has that sort of basically life altering thing happened? How old were you when that happened?
Yeah, I think I was, at first, I was about, it happened at two different times and differently. At first, I was, maybe 10, 11, a young preteen, early teen, and I felt this divine presence just sort of come near to me, and I really fell in love. It's such, I think anyone would, to be honest. It's such a beautiful presence. It's like having, a lot of people think of Jesus or Muhammad or, what it's like
That doesn't
having
matter
a
what the name
sacred,
doesn't matter what the name is, it's a presence.
Just this sacred presence, and it never gave me a name. And I, but the only thing I knew of as a child was Jesus, so I thought maybe it was Jesus, because it was no name when I was a kid. And then, but I felt, and there was no guidance or teaching, it didn't talk to me, but it just come near. And if I was distressed, I would feel this immense love from this sort of divine being, and I would go for long walks at night and feel this divine holy presence with me. It was very special. But then, I did what teenagers do. I got involved in kids and social life and boys and all that sort of thing, and left that behind for a while. But until I was in my 20s, and I got into yoga and meditation, and after I'd been meditating a while, I felt this presence come to me, and in my meditation, and it gave me a name this time and talked to me, and a name was Baba.
Oh, that and that's your that was like a guide, was he, or a spiritual guide, or what was
Yeah, I consider Baba a kind of divine presence. Maybe you could say like a guide. I have considered him like an embodiment of
Okay.
the divine, of having like a holy presence, not just simply a guide, but a real holy presence. And I've really learned from this holy presence and felt guided, and then received teachings, and eventually was guided to allow those teachings to flow through me and to give these talks, which are based on, which I feel I just sort of step out of the way, kind of channeling, but not, I don't call it channeling
Okay.
because I don't think it's another entity. I think it's divine or higher consciousness,
Right.
coming through.
I mean, what was it like to fight when you first, Baba first came to you, when the voice, I assume is, the voice was there in your subconscious or conscious. Was that,
Yeah,
was it
in my
scaring at all?
inner world. Yeah, it was. I was, I lived in Southern Illinois. I was about 20, 22, 23 years old, and it was frightening to me. And at first, actually, when I first began to think that I heard it, I actually stopped meditating because it scared me.
Right, that's what
And
everyone does.
then I began meditating again. And I had a nice meditation room. My husband and I had this really nice little altar in this special room, and it was very nice, and I had nice, peaceful meditations. I felt really good about it. And at then one day, so I my fears got quelled. But then one day I rose from my meditation, and I realized that this amazing voice had been talking to me, just filled with love, and that I had had this loving presence coming to me, and that it had been going on for months, but that when I would come out of meditation, I would forget about it.
Right.
But, you know, because I would have gotten scared.
Yeah.
And so by the time I was allowed to remember that this had been happening for months, I had already sort of formed a connection, and my heart was really, I was really deeply in love. And I think that anybody who would see this type of being or have exposure to this type of being would fall in love. The divine is the most beautiful presence there is, you know, and there's the emanation of incredible love that makes human love, much of human love, be a shadow of it, you know,
Right. Now,
of that love. And so it's very deep. It would be that way for anyone, I think.
right. Well, I can imagine. I can imagine. I mean, the fact that, this presence was there and you didn't remember after you came out, but subconsciously and everything like that, it must have been having the effect. And then finally, when you were able to, or as you say, allowed to, because Baba realized that, you had reached the stage where you could understand it, perhaps, that this, that he you started remembering it, you were already there. It's just a case of the doors were suddenly open for you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was already deeply in love, but I was still nervous about it. You know, I was going back and forth between, oh, I'm so in love, and well, I don't know of anybody hearing voices, beings talking to them except crazy people. You know, I
Right.
didn't know anything at that time. I really didn't have the kind of information that is now rather common. You know, that's all I knew, and so. So it was scary, you know, but I was so in love that I decided, well, doesn't matter, you know. And over the years, at some point, Baba said to me, you can't understand your experiences at this point. Just, you know, try to just accept what's happening and not worry about it.
Well, that's the
And then,
thing. The hardest thing must have been the acceptance, I'd have thought.
yeah. But then, you know, love is a powerful force. And that divine love is a really powerful force. And there were times when Baba's every word would be like a jewel dropped in my mind, like of perfect justice or
Right.
perfect love or perfect beauty. You know, each word would hold this incredible vibration of these qualities and divine qualities, you know, and different experiences happened, which were very profound and, you know, cemented me in that communion, which has definitely influenced my whole life, you know.
Because he Baba also directed you to a living guru, didn't you? Didn't you go within in India or something like that?
Yes. Well, Baba, I had some deep, profound spiritual experiences. I go into it in my book.
Right.
And then when they came to a close, I had been alone in southern Illinois for a couple of weeks in my home, way out and on a 1,000-acre farm where I lived. And I had been through these deep spiritual experiences. And then Baba said to me, now you must come to India and be with my physical form. And so, yeah, so my husband came back from his trip and we talked about it and we sold everything what we had, found homes for our two cats and our dog, and bought one-way tickets to India.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good that you, I mean, obviously, your husband fully understood and believed in you and what was happening to you. So
Well,
that was really good.
he had his own connection to Baba in
Oh,
his
he
own
did.
way.
Oh.
As a guru, as a physical guru,
Oh, that's
you know.
great. Now, your
So.
book, Into the Heart of the Infinite, as I said, it sort of does it go into how you sort of compared the or lived the two things, living in, the spiritual bliss and the love, and on the other hand, keeping it in this world as well. Is that what it goes into, or how what does the book explain to
Yeah,
people?
it really goes into. I think it's my journey, but it is a sort of a story of spiritual transformation and what it was for my journey. But people who've read it have told me so much it resonates with their own journeys, and the things that we go through, because it goes into the struggles, the fear, the doubt, the difficulty. The spiritual transformation is really, you have to go into your shadow. You really have to look deep within. And if to find this God connection, there has to be a passion for it and also a willingness to sort of cross the deep waters and, look at the shadow material inside. And so it goes into, how different difficult experiences happened in my passion and how the passion for God continued through those, and how the ups and downs of different times, and then how mystical openings would happen. And then it goes into my journey in India and, all that. That was, meeting my physical guru is also first meeting the subtle divine expression of guru, and then meeting the physical guru was also a very profound experience, and lots of magical and mystical things
Right, I can
happened
imagine. I
around
can
him.
imagine.
Yeah.
I know you've sort of, you're a spiritual mentor, but you provide these Baba talks as well as teaching classes and guiding students and stuff like that. And webinars and retreats and everything, you do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Is this book go into that and helps you to explain to people what perhaps you can help them with?
Not exactly. It goes into my own evolutionary process
Okay,
of
because it's yes, of course.
spiritual. It goes into the process of spiritual transformation. And I think, for anyone who's on a journey to deeply connect with themselves, it's about that journey, about what it means to connect deeply with yourself and with the God self, and what it requires of you. And it really goes into that transformation, and hopefully a little bit of trying to share as best I can what that God self, what that divine self feels like and is, and how that comes across.
Do you think we've all got this sort of link to a spiritual mentor within us? It's just that most of the time we just don't listen or turn it off, or we're not ready to accept it.
I think we all have the God self
Right.
within our personal ego self, but we get so extroverted, with everything we're doing and the people we're involved with and stuff, that we sometimes, and the wounding of our own childhoods and so on, that we are afraid to take the time and step within and, open the treasure box,
Right.
because there's a certain, warning sign about opening it, right? You have to face the demons.
Right.
And so a lot of people sometimes tend to run from that, even though they really want it in their hearts. Everybody wants to find true happiness. Everybody wants to find love, that their home, their place where love is complete, where they're complete. Everybody wants that. It's just human nature to want that. But we often don't know how to fulfill it. We don't know
Right.
how to get there. That's the issue,
Yeah, I mean, people, it's there, but people don't know how to unlock the door sometimes. It's that's
Exactly.
you've got to find the key and accept the key as much as anything
Exactly.
else. And I'm hoping, and from what you're saying, that your book is will help people with that missing thing, because we quite often get books, people come on and talk about such things, but it's that opening the door, undoing the lock, accepting
Yes.
it is the
Yes.
hardest thing, as you've been saying. And I'm sure your book does help people with that, from looking at some of the reviews as well. It seems a lot of people have found that.
Yeah, they have. The people I've gotten, people have walked the journey with me, and in that walking their own journey, and that has been probably the most rewarding thing to hear people's stories about that, you know, and because that's why I wrote my story, is so that other people could have that experience themselves, you know.
Now,
And I do work with people, mentoring them and
good.
trying to with meditation practices,
I was
but the book
just
isn't
gonna,
about that.
I was just, no, I was just gonna say, I was looking at your website, and one of the things I thought which was good is you actually help people learn about meditation and how to do it. Because
Yes.
you read it, oh, the old meditate. Well, how do I do it? You know, what do I do? And you actually got a
Yes.
page on that, which I think is great.
Yeah, I am actually officially an acharya, which is a meditation teacher within the tradition of my guru, Sri Sri Anandamurti. And so I do teach meditation practices, but also I try to work with people, not just the meditation practices, but it's not just a meditation practice, but it's uncovering your connection to the infinite self, to the one eternal essence, and to really feel that in your own being, and that is your deeper nature, that is who you are, you know, and to help people to sort of come to that feeling inside themselves, which you know, it's an important journey
Right,
for anyone who
it
wants to
is,
undertake it.
yeah, and as I said, and as you've said, the sort of the response seems to have been really good. You know, the reviews and how people have accepted this book and what people have found from this book. I think it's a great service, and hopefully opening up people's minds to such a spiritual thing, and hey, how they can not only do that but bring it in and share with it in a normal world. As you said earlier on at the beginning, it's like two different worlds, and you managed to, you know, merge the two together, which I think is great.
That was for my lifetime karma to do.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
See, I
that's
spotted it. You done it.
it's you know to really see that the divine is everywhere, really everywhere, and in everyone, and that we all have a divine nature. We all have that, but we just get disconnected from it. That's
Indeed.
all. And
Well,
we don't feel it. And when you do feel it, it's really amazing. It's profound.
and I'm sure a lot of people have listened to today's program and felt that and been able to share and see from, you know, just what you say and what you share with people what this can offer you. But time is running out now, so what I'm going to do is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Okay, thank you. Well, I have a website, and I suggest that you go to my website to learn more about me and sign up for my newsletter. And my website is yogama.org, yogama, yogama.org,
Okay.
yogama.org. That's my website. And I'm easy to find there. I also have Baba Talk podcasts. I have a YouTube channel with these talks on it, but they're also on my website. And if you want to work with me personally, you can sign up for my mailing list, and there's a little place to put a note for me if you want. And I'll see that note. Let me know, and I'll get back to you.
Indeed, and I've been looking at the website, and there's so much interesting stuff there. It's great to visit, so I do recommend people to go and visit it. Anyway, Maitreyi, thank you so much for being a guest today on the show. It's been a great pleasure.
It's wonderful to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. How about that, eh? Maitreyi Ma Noland, and as she said, you can find her on yogama.org or ORG. So it's yogama.org. And good, lots and lots of stuff there, including this new book and everything else. Terrific stuff. Well, that's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday with my music shows. First of all, between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Those Were the Days, a music from the 20th century. And what we've been doing this last few weeks is colours. And we've got a few more to come, songs or groups or what have you from the 20th century linked to colours. Well, we've had greens, we've had blues. This week, we are on red. Only 1 week, I think we can get on red, but we've got 1 week, and that will be this week. And then, of course, we've got black and white and silver, and we've got a few more to come. Perhaps have an orange and purple mixed together sort of stuff, but we'll do it. But this week it is, what did I say? Red. That's right. I'm halfway through doing it, so that's why I do it. And then, of course, from 6 to 7 p.m., we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s, not just the British Invasion, but from all over the world. And then next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back with a couple more guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.